Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cohen's Corner. Jake and I have really been enjoying the recent stretch of the Mets, as I'm sure you all have. As you all know by now, the Mets obviously took 4 out of 5 from a huge series against the Braves last weekend. And then I think while people were still kind of getting over enjoying that, they also swept the Reds immediately following. So there was no letdown series against the NL Central opponent. The vibes have been very good recently. And, you know, I feel like sometimes Mets fans are waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I have to say that I think both of us have just really been enjoying the ride recently of the Mets playing really well. They're 15-2 in their last 17 games. All of their starting pitchers have been performing excellently recently, which has been a huge help to this recent hot stretch that they've been on. And yeah, we're excited to dive into the Braves series, how they did against the Reds, and then also looking ahead to the Philly series this coming weekend, as well as what the Mets have in store for the rest of the season. So, Jake, just going back to the Mets playing the Braves this past weekend, I know I was at the Sunday game, but I forget, which game did you attend?
I was at two of them. I went Friday night, the night Walker got shelled, and then I was at the second game of the doubleheader where Scherzer pitched.
Awesome. So, I know at least for me, and I'll get into this later because it was the DeGrom return game, and I'm very excited to talk about it, but at least for from your perspective, you know, I know the Mets lost on Friday, but they still kind of played well for the most part, despite Walker giving up a bunch of runs. But from your perspective, like what was the environment like at the stadium? Because at least for me, I feel like it was way more, at least I went to a day game and I felt like the crowd was just so much more into it than most day game crowds. So like you went to two night games. So what was that like, kind of, you know, especially the Scherzer game, which they ended up winning?
Yeah. So, I mean, starting with Friday, it sucked kind of because it was the blackout and all that hype behind it. And, I mean, by the top of the second inning, we were losing 8-0. So, but still, the team came back. I mean, they brought the tying run to the plate at one point. I mean, remember Darren Ruff had that double.
His first at bat.
And I mean, the crowd was just looking for anything. And they were going nuts, standing up. Like, it was a shame kind of that they were down so much to start the game. I mean, but they did, like I said, they made it interesting. But then Saturday night was just, it was incredible. The atmosphere was amazing. I mean, with Scherzer on the mound, he's been everything we could have asked for when we signed him to that huge contract. I mean, he's a bulldog on the mound. It's just so fun to watch. But yeah, the environment, it was like a playoff atmosphere, basically. And I think some of the players said that as well. The whole weekend, I mean, that's crazy. We were there Sunday. That's awesome. I was watching on TV that I got chills just when they were showing DeGrom warm up to Simple Man. That was awesome. But just the energy throughout the whole weekend was just incredible. And I think that's going to be like that the rest of the summer with how good this team is. I mean, I think this is the best Mets team of our lifetime. I mean, for sure. 2006, they were really good. They had a really good team. And obviously in 15, they made the World Series, but that was kind of unexpected. But yeah, this team is just dominant. They're 34 games over 500. It's insane how well they're playing. And I know we all had high expectations going into the season, but I don't think any of us could have predicted that the season was going to go this well to this point.
And I think part of the reason people are genuinely feeling optimistic and not just waiting for it, you know, some like assuming it's going to go terribly, is because they have Buck, who's been leading a very steady ship this year. And, you know, to this point, the Mets, I think, have only lost 3 games in a row once this entire season. So it's not like they've had really hot stretches and really cold stretches in terms of games they've been winning. You know, their longest winning streak has been 7 games so far. Maybe they'll extend that this weekend. Who knows? But they've been pretty even keeled in terms of how they've been playing. And I think a lot of that has to do with Buck, obviously, and just the confidence in, you know, the moves that Billy Epler has made, which we'll also get to as well, you know, in the offseason and at the trade deadline, and just having Steve Cohen as the owner. I feel like this definitely has a much different feel than kind of fluky good teams of the past where they were good, but you didn't feel like it was really building towards this grander idea of the Mets. Like in 2015, that's kind of how I felt. And, you know, obviously that team actually got to the World Series. We'll see where this team ends up going. But I never felt like the 2015 team was like the start of something huge. At least, I don't know. I kind of always felt like, even in the season, which is terrible to say, but I was kind of like, there's no way. Like, it didn't feel like to me that was the start of better times for years to come. And I think the reason people have really latched on to this season is because, yes, the Mets have been playing great, but also I feel like people are hoping that, you know, at least for the next few years with Buck as manager, especially, and a lot of the current players they've signed, on deals for multiple years, people at least feel like, okay, you know, this might not just be a flash in the pan. Like, this could be actually what we can look forward to for years. And I think people genuinely are optimistic about that. And I think that's why, you know, like you were saying, the Braves series, they, even in the game they lost, they just played really crisp, intense, and like urgent, but not panicking baseball like the whole weekend. I felt like they, you know, even it started in the first game, Buck using Diaz for two innings, which I didn't actually get to watch the end of that game, but I kind of saw it later, was like flipping through game day. And then it didn't really register to me at first, but I was like, oh my God, like they used Diaz in the eighth and ninth in the first game of the series. Like, that's making a statement. And he ended up getting three saves in the series, I think. So, you know, it really was just.
And how good has he been? I mean, besides I think Alonso has been the MVP of the team, but Diaz isn't far behind. I mean, some people are putting Diaz in the Cy Young conversation, and I don't think he'll win it. I mean, he'll get some votes.
If he keeps this up, he will get votes.
He'll get votes, sure. But with the amount of innings he's thrown, I mean, I don't see how he could win the Cy Young. I mean, he's been awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. He's been awesome. But, I mean, what a turnaround it's been for Diaz just as a Met in his career. You know, it's just – he's insane. Like, he's the best reliever in baseball right now. And in 2019, he was arguably the worst reliever in baseball. So, I mean, it's just been a complete turnaround for him. And it's crazy to think now, like, he's a top priority this offseason to resign. And, I mean, absolutely, going into the year, yeah, people are thinking, oh, we should probably keep him around if he can be good. But now it's like, we got to keep this guy. Like, look how good he is. Nobody's touching him in the ninth inning. I mean, he's making the best hitters look like they've never swung a bat in their life. Like, look what he did to Austin Riley, like, two or three times this weekend. So, I mean, it's incredible what Diaz has been able to do for this team. And it's just, that's the only part that scares me is the bridge to Diaz. I mean, at the trade deadline, Epler made some good moves. Obviously, Vogelbach's been awesome. Naquin's been great. Ruff's been great. Michael Givens, so-so. I mean, he had that really bad first outing. He's been okay since. But, I mean, they really need a lefty reliever. That's the only thing I'm still disappointed in. I mean, Joely Rodriguez, yes, he pitched well the other day when he came in for DeGrom, but he's not going to be able to get it done as your top lefty out of the pen. So, I don't know. Besides that, the trade deadline was awesome. This team's playing great. But if there's one thing to be a little nervous about, it'd be the bridge to Diaz, I think.
I think so. And I also think, though, if the starting pitching, you know, starters aren't going to go six or seven innings and allow two runs every game. Like, they've mostly been doing that, which is amazing, but that's not always going to happen. But I think, as at least if they can, if the starters can at least continue going like six, like minimum, like six ish innings per start, that does take a lot of the load off of the bullpen. So, yes, they don't necessarily have a ton of, I mean, they have a lot of relievers who have pitched really well. You know, Ottavino has been fantastic, especially recently. So he's been probably about as close to an eighth inning guy as you could really ask for. And he's delivered in those moments recently. And I think because, like, the best way to improve the bullpen a lot of the time is to, like, have them pitch less and have the starters pitch better. And so, like, if the starters continue pitching really well, you know, I think it'll be hopefully less of a strain on the guys that are already there. And we'll see. They seem to have been thriving if the bullpen only having to pitch like two or three innings every game. So if they can at least try be doing that as often as possible and not having to come in like the fourth or fifth inning, then, and we'll even in the Walker game, for example, they threw like 8 one-run innings against the Braves. Now,
Trevor Williams is a big part of that.
Exactly. And that's not like always going to happen, but I just think the starters pitching so well has kind of lessened my worry about the bullpen, just because they can kind of make, like, have guys available for the exact right spots more often. And yeah, going back to Diaz too, like, it's not very common that an athlete in New York struggles mightily in their first season and then actually turns it around, and like, not even just turns it around, but gets the fans on his side. Like, that is not, I mean, there's been players the Mets have signed that struggled in their first season. Like, Piazza struggled at first for like a little bit. Beltran, same thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was as much of a trough as Diaz's first season.
No, Diaz's first season, he was arguably the worst closer in Mets history.
And it's been really, because he seems like a really nice person, and to see him like really being embraced by the fans just makes me happy. And see, like, seeing him confident, and, you know, it's funny, like, there's been a lot of hype recently about his music, like his walk-up song, because there was a video that SNY tweeted that now has like 9 million views on Twitter. And, you know, part of me, again, kind of that, like, slightly, part of me is like, okay, let's not, like, make it too big of a thing. I don't want there to be, like, extra fanfare. You know what I mean? Like,
would you see they're having the trumpet, the trumpets, wherever he's going to play live one of the days.
I saw that, but then there was also a tweet afterwards that, like, that date that the guy had mentioned actually wasn't going to work originally, so I don't know.
And how do you know Diaz is going to pitch that specific day?
Well, I mean, they don't. And yeah, Buck is so. Not going to be...
No, he's not gonna be like, all right, we got the trumpet guy here. You're coming in. It's 8-0. We're gonna bring you in anyway.
Like, yeah, I mean, like maybe they would. I don't know, but yeah, part of me is like, okay, let's just like not give him any additional. I mean, he seems to be. I mean, he's had a lot of pressure filled situations this year. I think we saw it, especially when he closed out the no hitter in April. I think that was the first sign of like, okay, this was a moment where there was a history on the line, and he delivered. And I think, I mean, he was good before that in the few opportunities he had, but. You know, I don't want to like worry about him at this point, but I also hope that, you know, it doesn't get like too big. Let's just keep it to like where we're enjoying the music and not have it be like this huge thing. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I don't want it to be this like huge
but
thing.
But I don't even think he's overhyped. The guy to kind of listen to that outside noise get to him. But because apparently I think I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he used this in 2018. He used this Narco song when he was with Seattle, and he was talking about that, and he had a really good year, but then he didn't use it right when he came here. I don't know.
I thought he used it right away. I guess I'm,
I don't know. Maybe he was just so bad that I didn't pay attention to what music he
that
used,
nobody
didn't
was
really
excited
matter.
By it.
But
yeah,
but no, you're right. I mean, there haven't been too many players that have had as horrible a start to not just a Met career, but like a New York career. Like look across town at Joey Gallo or somebody like that, that just wasn't able to recover. We have two guys that have done that this year. I mean, Edwin Diaz and Francisco Lindor, because with all the hype around Lindor last year and his contract, and he definitely didn't live up to it last year, but this year he's incredible. I mean, he's already tied with Reyes for the most RBIs by a shortstop in a season in Mets history. And he's got what 50 games 50 remaining.
Games left.
So, I mean, he's going to blow past that. He's hitting over 260, close to 270, which last year, what he hit to finish the year, he hit like 230. And that was only because he finished hot. Most of the season, he was close to 200, if not under that. So, I mean, he's just been incredible. 20 home runs. He's played a great defense. His leadership is at a complete different level, I think, than it was last year. Just like you said with Buck, I mean, we've talked about him every episode, how great Buck is and what he does for this team. But just the guys they have in the clubhouse. Like last year, it was obviously a fractured clubhouse and all the stuff that went on. And it's not all Louis Rojas's fault, but a lot of other BS went on. So, I mean, it's just it's so refreshing to see that they're all kind of, for lack of a better term, like they're in it together, you know?
They're buying in to the vision that, and they're all just focused. I feel like people's egos
have one goal in mind.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. It does seem like a very unified group. And I mean, that's kind of what I've seen. Like I was watching a clip of an interview with Vogelbach that he gave recently on a podcast where he was talking about like just coming into the Mets clubhouse. And he has never been in a clubhouse, or I don't want to mince his words, but he was basically saying it was kind of the easiest clubhouse he could have possibly walked into. And like, there was no divide between like position players and pitchers, which is apparently like a common thing just in terms of who people hang out with. Like everyone seemed very, very close and very like laser focused. And, you know, that's a player saying that. And, you know, he might not say that if it like wasn't true. So I do feel like that. And we've seen that on the field as well. And it has been really impressive. You're right, especially with Lindor. Like, again, the only kind of down period he had was when he like broke his finger in the door in June, yep.
And
like probably
and he kept
couldn't
playing
swing
through
a bat.
That. Like,
and he's played every game except for one the Mets have had this season. I think like Pete has played like every game except for one or two after he got hit in the hand or whatever it was. So it's
and Buck
like,
said that Lindor fought him because Buck took him out of the last game against Cincinnati just for the ninth inning. And he said Lindor still fought him on that and wanted to play. So I feel like that just shows the competitor he is. And he just wants to win. He wants to be out there for his team. And he's performing at the highest level this year. I mean, he was good up before the All-Star break, but he's been insane since the All-Star break. Like if he had these numbers leading into it, he no doubt would have been an All-Star. Mm-hmm. But He's having a Francisco Lindor type year, the year we were hoping we were going to get year in and year out when we traded for this guy. So, I mean, because look what we gave up. I mean, we gave up Amed Rosario and Andrés Giménez, a couple other prospects, but Rosario and Giménez are playing really well for Cleveland.
But Giménez was an all-star for Cleveland. He was the starting second baseman for the
American
League.
We need a good return on that trade, and we're really getting it this year, not just with Lindor, but Cookie Carrasco as well. Like, he's been awesome. And to think now that he's our fifth starter, he's got to be the best fifth starter in baseball. I mean, he's incredible. He's got an ERA in the threes. He just had the longest scoreless streak. I think it was like 22 innings, longest scoreless streak of his career. This might be the best he's pitched in his career over this stretch. I mean, he's had like two or three dud games this year where he got rocked a little bit. But if you take those away, I mean, he's been incredible this season. And I think he's been everything they could have hoped for after what was a very shaky year with his injuries and his performance last season.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been kind of talking about, you know, what's like the ultimate, so far at least, like X factor for the Mets being really good this year. And obviously, you know, Pete's having a great year. Diaz has been spectacular. I think, honestly, Carrasco, like, not being a disaster has been a huge, huge piece. Because Carrasco being healthy and being generally very good has been, I didn't necessarily expect that going into the year just based on how last year went. But even, like Buck has said in a couple of post-game interviews, like, he's been healthy this year. He feels confident in, like, his delivery. And I don't know if he always, based on his injuries last year, I don't know if he necessarily always felt that way, just with the hamstring and, like, other things he was dealing with. But, like, quietly, I think that's been one of the most important things to the Mets this year, especially with the other pitcher injuries they've had. You know, DeGrom, obviously, just recently coming back. Scherzer being out for 6 weeks. Like, Carrasco being very good has been extremely important to the team. And him being there every fifth day, and you know you're going to get, you know, again, he's had a couple of bad games. He had a not great start against the Cardinals. Like, I'm not going to expect him to, like, go seven scoreless every time out, for sure. But he's definitely far exceeded, like, his performance last year, and also, like, kind of what I expected. I kind of thought it would be like a one good start, one bad start thing with him. I just, like, wasn't sure based on last year. But the thing is, he's had such a good track record for his whole career. He's been a very good pitcher in the majors for a long time. And he's showing us that reputation. He's pitching up to his reputation.
That's what I'm saying. Him and Lindor, they both had well below average years last year for what they've both typically been in their careers. And whether that was due to injury for Carrasco or distractions and adjusting to New York for Lindor or whatever it was, I mean, they're both back to who we thought we were getting when we traded for them. And that's huge. I mean, because think, when we made that Lindor trade, when we first found out we're getting Lindor, it's awesome. And then it leaks out that Carrasco's part of the deal. Like, I remember how big of a deal that was, because he was such a good pitcher leading up to that. And last year he got the hamstring injury in spring training. And as a pitcher, using your legs is such a big deal. So you got to think that had to have been in the back of his mind a little bit. I think he had his elbow cleaned up a little bit this offseason. Mm-hmm. So he had a lot of medical stuff going on. And he's been everything we could have hoped for, especially now that DeGrom's healthy and everyone in our rotation is healthy. I mean, he's been an awesome fifth starter. And also a guy like David Peterson, who pitched great the other day against Atlanta. I mean, he's been huge. Another guy that bounced back. Like, in his rookie year, we talked about it last year. But in 2020, he was awesome when they called him up, because they didn't even expect him to come up. And he pitched really meaningful innings for them in 2020. And obviously, their season didn't go where they wanted it to that year. But he was great. And then last year, he hit some bumps in the road. He had some good starts, but then he was hurt, and it just really wasn't a good season for David
Peterson.
He didn't have
the mental toughness last year.
No, and you can tell his confidence was down, but
yeah,
his confidence isn't lacking this year, and he's been awesome. He's another guy who's got an ERA in the threes, and he's pitched a lot of innings. Or how about a guy that I wasn't high on at all, even up until a couple months ago, but Trevor Williams has been a big piece for this team. I mean, just saving the bullpen last week, we were talking about it briefly, but when Taijuan Walker got taken out after an inning plus, Williams came in and really cleaned it up. He didn't give up a run. I mean, I think he inherited a runner that he let score, but other than that, he didn't give up a run in the four plus innings he threw. He's been awesome. I mean, in some spot starts, to have a three something ERA himself. I mean, the Mets really don't have besides Thomas Zapucki, who's gone now. He's with the Giants and got rocked by the Giants earlier this year. We really haven't thrown a pitcher that pitched some consistent innings that has an ERA higher than four. I mean, all these pitchers are either in the twos, threes. Scherzer was lower than two now. I mean, it's just, this rotation has been incredible to go with the offense, and Starling Marte, Mark Canna, Eduardo. I mean, people hate on Eduardo Escobar, but when he plays, he's played a solid third base. He's come up with some clutch hits. And I mean, him platooning with Guillorme, it's just, everything seems to be meshing. The platoons they have now with Vogelback and Ruff, you can put Naquin out there, give Canna some days off. I mean, and it just seems like every button that Buck is pushing just seems to work. And that may not go on forever, but I mean, right now, I mean, they're rolling, and I don't know how you just can't sit there and enjoy it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've definitely been enjoying it recently. Like, especially the series against the Reds, and was like very relaxing. I was like, there was like, they had a lead early in like every game, and they won every game. They didn't trail the entire series. And I'm like, wow, like,
that's how it should be. They're beating up on the bad teams. Yeah.
And I was like, I always try to like savor those games, especially like the 10-2 game the other day, because I'm like, it's not always going to be this way. You know, I always have to remind myself in blowouts. I'm like, not every game is going to be like 8-0 in, you know, so I like appreciate this, appreciate the calmness you feel right now, because it will not be that way in like 3 days. But yes, that was, you know, just to like go right out of the Braves series again, great starting pitching, great relief pitching and clutch hitting for 3 more days. And there you go. You got 3 more wins. The Braves didn't lose to the Red Sox, so you kind of kept pace with them, because the Braves, regardless of what they showed against the Mets, they're a very good team, and their season is not over, like, by any stretch of the imagination. So they, despite what we saw from them last weekend, I think they're better than that, especially against other teams with perhaps not as strong starting pitching as the Mets have. So you know, this is not going to be like a cakewalk the rest of the way by any means. So but I think the Mets obviously know that. They're taking it one day at a time. But yeah, before we move on to kind of talking, like looking ahead, I do want to go back to the game that I attended from the Braves series, which was the DeGrom game on Sunday. And let me tell you that. So I know DeGrom pitched the first half of last year, but I never got a chance to go to any of those games. So the last time I had actually seen him pitch was in 2019, almost exactly like 3 years ago. And Sunday was like a transcendent experience. Like, I don't know. That sounds dramatic. I don't know how else to describe it, because just the reverence that the crowd showed him and just the outpouring of love and appreciation was absolutely overwhelming. Like, from the moment he started warming up, even just when he was like walking on the field, you know, 35 minutes before the game, just huge cheers from everyone. Like when they saw him, and when he like walked out to, like when they announced his name in the lineup, or not in the lineup, but as part of the lineup, just enormous ovation. And then obviously when he started warming up, the wonderful soundtrack of Simple Man started playing, which I had sorely missed. It's an essential part of the Jacob DeGrom game day experience, as I like to say, but just hearing that song. And like, I feel like he and the song are so like, make so much sense together. And just like seeing him, you know what I mean? And like, not every player, there's very few players other than maybe Diaz and his song, where I feel like his song just like embodies them so perfectly.
Vogelback and Milkshake.
Vogelback and Milkshake is a very close third, but that was fantastic. But I just feel like seeing DeGrom with like that amazing song playing in the background, that is just so, it captures like the majesty that he has when he's pitching. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. And
the Simple Man.
Exactly. And like, that's who he is. That it's so perfect for him. And I like, it's just, now I'm like always going to think of him when I hear that song. But yeah, that was just a wonderful moment. And seeing it captured so with such care by SNY was also very
That was awesome how they did that and showed his warm up. And
it was beautiful.
That was sick. Yeah, I had chills watching that. That was incredible. And how it's just amazing how good he is. I mean, obviously give up that home run to Swanson to end his day. And you could tell he's running out of gas a little bit. He walked Andrianza.
He needs to build up stamina. Leader.
Yeah, and he will. But I mean, oh my God, to be perfect up until that point. I mean, he was just insane to have 12 strikeouts. He's throwing 102 in the first inning, and you could tell he dialed it back a little bit in the second, but he was still able to touch 100, 101 later in the game. But in that slider, that 94, that just scares me a little bit. That 94 mile an hour slider, it's dirty. Oh, it's unhittable. And with the shadows they had, that's what the Braves must have known they were screwed when they saw that it was a 4 o'clock game and DeGrom's pitching. You know, the shadows are going to be there. It's just, that's just not a recipe for success for Atlanta. That's for sure. But, and hey, they gave him some run support. How about that?
No,
because when that he pitched against Washington last week, it was typical Mets. They didn't give him run support and the bullpen sucked. So, I mean, it was nice that they gave him run support. Joely Rodriguez surprisingly pitched like 2 innings, I think.
Two and a third. He had 4 strikeouts. Could not believe it.
And then Diaz was Diaz. I mean, he's just, we talked about it, but he's just insane. So, I mean, it's just, and when DeGrom builds up that stamina, hopefully you can just go DeGrom, maybe if you have to get out of Eno and Diaz, or just DeGrom, Diaz. I mean, that'd be the ideal thing in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, which is nice if we could keep building up this division lead. Yes, they could stretch DeGrom out, but they also won't feel the pressure to have to pitch him all these innings, you know, and they can kind of ease up on him and Scherzer. Yeah. And so when October comes, they can throw as much as they need to, and they'll be ready to do it. But yeah, it's insane how DeGrom came back and just hasn't missed a beat. I mean, I was expecting it kind of because he's Jacob DeGrom, but he looked as good as he's ever been the other day. So, I mean, it was amazing.
I mean, it was objectively, like statistically, the most dominant start to a game he's ever had. His longest perfect game bid before that had been like 5 perfect innings to start the game, I think in like 2015 or something. But it was like objectively the most, I mean, again, he only went 5 2/3, but the final line of 2 runs, 1 hit does like, and 1 walk does like not reflect how he was the most dominant he's ever been basically in like that start, which is hard to believe given how good he was, especially in the first half of last year. But it was hard to fathom that I was like, and the thing is, my friend and I, like, normally say, like, injury aside, if this has been just a normal DeGrom start and he hadn't been injured, I would have been like, he's going to throw a no hitter. Like, it's today. But on Sunday, because I knew that they weren't going to let him obviously go 9 innings, I was like kind of praying he would give up a hit. Like, I was like, this is like, he can't come out of the game with it. Like, this cannot be the day that like he doesn't allow a hit through 6. I didn't want him to give up a home run like that. I was kind of just hoping he would give up like 1 hit and then be taken out, because I was like, this, I mean, a combined no hitter would have been great, but I don't know. I didn't want, like,
we've seen that already.
I was like, when you're ready to go 9, like, that's when it should happen. Not like today when he's not going to be able to finish the game. So I was kind of happy that he actually didn't have a perfect game bid when he came out of the game, because that would have been just kind of, you know, what could have been. But it was just amazing. And also too, I've never been in a game where people were standing up every single time the Met pitcher got to 2 strikes the entire game, even for Joely, even for, like, especially for Diaz. But every time
it's like a playoff game.
Exactly. Like, every time DeGrom had 2 strikes on a guy, people stood up and were like cheering extremely loudly. And like most of the time he struck the guy out. That's why it was so annoying when Adrianza walked, because he had 2 strikes on him. And I think it was like 1-2 or 0-2. And then he ended up walking. So he was like 1 strike away from not allowing anything, basically. And yeah, it's like hard. And then even when he came out of the game, obviously he just gave up the home run. But like, I've never seen fans care so little about a lead going from 5-0 to 5-2 in my life. Like, people.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what was like the energy in the stadium after he gave up that home run?
It was just like, of just a sigh of. But when, like,
he came off, he got a huge ovation.
Yeah, but that's the thing. People, like, I think most people knew he was probably coming out if he like gave up anything at that point, because
you could tell he was losing his control a little bit. Like, he was hitting the end of the road there.
Just because, again, he was barely pitched, and he hasn't pitched that many pitches in a game. I don't even think in any of his rehab starts. So
now, what did he go, like 70? He was close to like 75, right? Yeah,
76 pitches through.
So he could go maybe like 80, 85.
I think so.
Maybe they're going to have to keep building him up.
They have to keep building him up, because he has to eventually, like, they have to, I don't know. They can't just keep him there. I think,
and it'll all depend on like how much, like how many meaning or stressful innings and pitches he throws. Like, if he's breezing through it, I mean, then 80 might look different than
that. Might be 7 1/3
stressful, stressful innings. And he's in the fourth inning and he's at 75. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, it all kind of depends too on the, like, severity of what he's kind of going
through. And it was also interesting too, like, there were so many like randomly historic things that he happened on Sunday. Like, he had the longest perfect game bid of his career. He became the fastest pitcher ever to get the most strikeouts for any pitcher ever in their first 200 career appearances. He had the fastest slider for a strikeout in the Statcast era. He had, like, the Mets combined for 19 strikeouts, which was the most, tied for the most in their history. They've never
had.
And
I think he had the fastest strikeout he's ever had with a fastball as well.
Yes, which was the first strikeout of the day of Olson. Yeah. It was like 101.6 miles per hour. It was like, there was like so many randomly historical things. Yeah, the Mets have never had even a combined 20 strikeout game, but all of a sudden they had 19. Like, if he had struck out Adrianza, you know, all things being the same after that, they could have been like the first 20 strikeout game in Mets history. Like, not even single pitcher history. Yeah. Tom Seaver never had a 20 strikeout game. I don't think he ever did. Not like with the, he had a 19 strikeout one with the Mets. David Cone also did. But, you know, the Mets pitchers even, you know, Doeli and Diaz also contributed to some history there. It was almost like a really unique event in Mets history. And yeah, I could go on. There was probably more randomly historic things that happened. And he also had the first like 18 sliders that the Braves swung at. They swung and missed. He had like the highest whiff rate of any pitch in a start like ever for his slider. It was like 90% swing and miss, something crazy, which is like apparently never happened. I don't know. It's what I'm just glad we're back to, like, I feel like last year every DeGrom start, like, there were like three historic things that happened and just three like mind-blowing stats from like every game. And I feel like he's still got that, clearly.
Yeah, and we still have the rest of the summer and hopefully deep into October to see it all. And it's just, it's exciting. And hopefully he's a Met for the rest of his career. I mean, but not to look too far ahead. We all know he's going to opt out after the season. So we got to just enjoy what he's doing right now for sure, especially while he's healthy. I mean, we haven't seen him pitch in over a year. So to be able to see him pitch now is just definitely just a joy to watch. But I mean, yeah, so the Atlanta series was great. We beat up on the Reds. But looking ahead, I mean, it's a big series here with the Phillies coming up. I mean, obviously, they're like 10 and a half games behind us.
They're playing really well.
They are. They're playing really, really well. They won every game on their homestand besides yesterday's game against the Marlins. I think they went 6-1 on their homestand. They're hitting a ton of home runs. I mean, Schwarber, he might miss this series. He's got a calf strain, so mm-hmm. he may or may not play a little bit this weekend.
That'd be huge for the Mets,
That'd
honestly,
be huge, but I'd still love to beat up on the Phillies with their full team because I just love, you know, I love beating up on the Phillies, and that'd be great. But
I'd also prefer if he weren't in the lineup.
Yeah, it
like,
would definitely
yes,
help. It would
yeah,
definitely
I'd be
help.
Fine with that. As long as he's, like, okay long-term, like, I'd be fine with whatever games he has to miss. Take your time.
For sure. But, yeah, it's going to be a big weekend. I mean, and you're going to have some good pitching matchups. I know Saturday is Nola versus DeGrom, and it's going to be a really good weekend against two teams that are really hot in the same division, rivals. It's going to be fun that both teams are good at the same time. It's been a long time since that's happened. So, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then after that, we go to Atlanta for four more. So let's beat up on Atlanta some more, build this lead up, maybe get it. If you could get it to 10 games against Atlanta somehow, I mean, by that point, who knows what they're going to do this weekend. I think they're playing Miami this weekend. So they probably are going to.
They're playing Miami, but Freed is out.
He's got a
concussion.
And they're facing Alcantara once, I think, Sunday.
Okay.
He's pitching, so. Yeah, I mean, let's see where the Braves are at the end of the weekend, but hopefully if we still have the same lead we have now, we can possibly, if we could win 3 out of 4 and get it to 10 games, I mean, even a split would be great in Atlanta, I mean, after what we did last weekend. So, yeah, it's a great time, and we got a little bit of a tough schedule coming up because you got Atlanta, and then I think we play the Yankees after that, and then the Rockies, but then the Dodgers come to town.
Dodgers.
So, I mean, we got some tough games, but after that, it eases up for sure. But, yeah. Definitely need to take care of business the next 2 weeks and don't leave any doubt that we're going to win this division.
Exactly. And, you know, aside from the two Padres series, which the Mets lost 2 out of 3 in both and getting swept in 4 games by Houston, the Mets in the games they've played against like the Yankees, the Dodgers and the Braves, especially have really like played well. They've played up to the bigger teams. And you know, they're not going to win all the games against the good teams, but I'm not going into like that matchup with the Dodgers feeling like they're going to get pummeled. Like, you know, the Dodgers have been playing amazing baseball recently. I think they've won like 10 in a row now. I mean, they're great, objectively great, despite like having pitching injuries. Their lineup has just been ferocious, but I don't feel like the Mets don't seem like they're intimidated by the good teams. And because they're one of the good teams this year.
The only team that really gave them work was the Astros.
And
they looked well over. I mean, and they didn't have DeGrom. They weren't fully healthy, but they looked very overmatched.
I think Trevor Williams pitched 2 of those games. Yeah. And again, nothing against Trevor Williams, but like probably not the guy
I want. They didn't beat them once. But I mean, if you think back to 2015, the Cubs handled the Mets in 2015 and beat them every game of the season. And then the Mets swept them in the NLCS.
Right.
So who knows? We see the Braves, I mean, see the Astros in the World Series.
I was going to say, it'll be a privilege if they get to see the Astros again.
Yeah,
let's count ourselves lucky.
Yeah,
like, that's all
Series,
I have to say.
Sure.
In the meantime, the Astros can keep beating up on, like, the rest of the AL teams. So, like, they have the best record in the AL. Like, that's fine. They can keep doing their thing over there. I can root for Trey Mancini, who's having a great start to his Astros career. Hit, like, 3 home runs in his first 3 at-bats with them. So, they're a little bit more likable now that he's on the team. But, yeah. You're right. That's the only team I feel like they just looked completely overmatched by.
Yeah.
But even so, 4 games is still kind of a small sample size, so you never know. But yeah, we'll see how the upcoming Yankees series looks. I know I don't think Stanton will probably be back by then because they missed Stanton in the previous Yankees series because he had just gone on the injured list. So I'm guessing he'll be back by the time the next time the Mets play them. So, and especially at Yankee Stadium too. So that'll be kind of an added boost to their lineup. But yeah, there's a lot to look forward to coming up. You're right. The Phillies, I think, to their credit, their bullpen's been very good recently. They got rid of Familia, who was basically the main weak link in the recent weeks.
He got picked up by like Boston or something.
The Red Sox. Yeah. I don't know what they need with him, but good. You know, we'll see how that goes.
Move. See, some people were like, I'll bring back Familia.
No. Oh, no more unnecessary. The only
last year after the season, people were like, bring back Familia, but no,
absolutely not.
He was horrible this year, but yeah, it seems like Billy Epler's pulling all the right strings and so is Showalter down in the dugout. So, I mean, we got a lot to look forward to the rest of the summer, and it's Mets fans just enjoy the ride. I mean, this doesn't happen very often for us, and with Steve Cohen and this new regime, hopefully it happens more often than it used to, but I think it's definitely exciting times ahead for this team, and it's going to be a really good summer.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I'm trying not to daydream about like clinching videos, but like I am daydreaming about it like a little bit. So let's see where September takes us. Hopefully we're all in an even better mood at the end of the season than we are right now. So that's basically going to do it for our episode this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Cohen's Corner Pod. You can also follow me at NYMFan97, and you can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. Can't wait to see what the Mets have in store for us the next few weeks. And as always, let's go Mets.